Maitua, tribe made up of one or more kinship groups or clans, was Tabla, where I was born to my mother, Murrin, and my father, Kled. I can say little of their ancestors. They have been mostly unrenowned in battle, except for my mother's father and his sister. Some have heard of them as Connacht and Flave. He was a Finna, royal bodyguard, to the High King Logara, the chieftain who refused baptism when Patrick offered it. Connach and his sister Flave were two of the lean warriors who died during the Five Hungry Years. My aunt, it is said, stood before her brother to protect him and was cut in the legs and fell. Connach, revealed behind her, received an axe blow to the mouth, which severed his head at the jaw. Flave lived for several days while the cruel hatred of her enemies, which had entered her through the wound in her leg, reached her heart and smothered it. The heroic deeds of Connach and Flave were woven into the songs our men sang at feasts while they beat the table with their fists. I loved the look of the men's fists and the roar of their voices. I loved how the women at these feasts tore their robes and revealed their breasts in celebration of sacrifice and lust. For many years, I perched on my elbows beneath the feast table to hear the names of my grandfather and my aunt sung. But the lines of the songs were repeated so often that they became as common as straw. After travelling to other places, I learned how small my tua was. The chieftain's hall, in fact, was no more than a hut longer than the score of huts that seemed to have tumbled into a mud clearing beside the lake called Oila. I could not be so loyal and devoted a member of the tua of Tabla as others, who were content to sing one song their whole lives and speak often of pigs and oats. Since I was a child, I have wandered far from my tua and even became fortuer of the alien people. I still have a place in my eyes for the strong oak and pine that embraced my tua, and a place in my nose for the smell of the soft grass beside the furrowed fields. But my attachment to the people of Tabla flowed from me slowly and steadily like water from a cracked vessel. Many feasts became contests between those who drank too much ale and accused their neighbours of pig-killing or stealing. For our meat and bread were precious and not sure to sustain our lives, though a man or woman worked from pink light to grey light to provide one meal. Few were like my mother, who raised her face up from her food bowl to look at the stars or hear the lark go deeper and deeper into the forest. My mother's influence never leaves me. I cannot now hold her warm hand, so I will tell of her character. In all the writings I have transcribed, there is no account of such a woman. I do not call her a saint or a hero, but a good mother who died at the beginning of the great changes, leaving me with an unredeemable loneliness. Let me honour her here in case there be no other place where she is honoured, for she did not die with her head severed at the jaw, nor atop a large horse, nor in any manner likely to be lauded in chieftains' halls or Christian manuscript. I confess here that my mother was not Christian, but in her time there were few who knew of the replacement of our gods with the three gods in one. She worshipped not God, but what he created, and she knew plants well, but not as a scholar. The tonsured men were not here yet to give the plants their Latin names. My mother knew them by their true names, Frahoga, Krem, and Bira. Woodberries, wild garlic, and watercress. When there was sickness in the tua, many were glad to see my mother's slender feet walk the mud paths between huts with her bundles of herbs. As a small child with limbs that seemed too thin to be of any use, I went with her into the forest while my older sister tended the pigs. My mother taught me to smell the earth she held in her hand and understand the odour of fertility, to compare it with the odour of barrenness.